Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello and welcome to the first Zero Ducks Given Daily of the England versus India series. And we probably should have mentioned earlier that we are doing a Zero Ducks Given Daily during the England versus India series. We basically kept meaning to mention it. We completely forgot. So here we are after the first day's play of this five test series between England and India. And I've got Daniel Norcross here with me. And there's a lot to unpack. We're going to try and do it in about 10, 15 minutes maximum. And there were parts of today's play that went exactly as I think we expected, and a few surprises along the way as well. But the numbers are England were 246 all out. And I think the general consensus at the end of the first innings was that might be an okay score, that, on a pitch that's turning a bit on day one. But India made it look very, very, very placid. Compared to when we were batting, they finished 119 for one off 23 overs. Poor Tom Hartley on his test debut bowled 9 overs, 0 for 63. And Jaiswal was absolutely unbelievable. He finished 76 not out overnight. There's lots to get through. Daniel Norcross, I think I'm going to do it chronologically. So, first of all, England got off to a flyer like they have done since baseball began, really, with Ben Duckett and Zach Crawley, because the seamers were on. And then as soon as the seamers went off and the spinners came on, it was a bit more like we know England versus India in India to be.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it, that India decided to use their seamers for a little bit longer than England did, because England had gone in with only the one seamer, as we know, and Wood only bowled 2 overs, which only went for 9 runs. 2 of them were wides, bouncer wides. So India took a very different approach, which was get the lacquer off the ball. They didn't really mind if they're going to go for runs. They've got 2 high-quality seamers, and Bumrah was actually getting the ball to nibble and jag a bit. There was a bit more bounce in the wicket, I think, perhaps than people had factored in when we saw the team selection. But crucially, if we're going to start chronologically, we've got to start the fact that it started at 4 o'clock. And my body clock woke me up at quite literally 4 o'clock. I woke up going, oh God, I've only been asleep 2 hours. It won't be time for the cricket yet. And mithered, and then turned around and looked just as my clock went from 4 to 4.01. So I thought, oh God, do I get up and watch it? I started by watching it on the phone and saw fours. Then I thought, I'll get the commentary from Crick Info to get me some idea of what was going on. Then I had to watch. And it all felt a little bit like watching England against Australia's seamers up to a point. And then, as you say, the spinners came in. And I mean, what is it that they do so differently, those spinners? There's a bit of height, there's bounce, there's accuracy. And I think if we're going to be really honest, we've got to say that India's spinners bowl at the stumps and they challenge both edges because they can get the ball that slides on, but the ball that turns away. They bowl with just a little bit more vigour on the ball. And I think England's spinners looked incredibly rusty by comparison. So I thought, if we're going, as you say, chronologically, that there were various points when England would have thought themselves on top, 3 down at lunch. Bairstow and Root going okay. Root just playing the sweep. That was his shot. It was a bit like, you know, Ben Duckett had talked about how he was going to sweep India to death, but it was in fact Root who was going to do that. He unfurled sweep after sweep, which look was working until one bounced a bit, and that was the problem, wasn't it? One, because there was a bit of bounce in the pitch, and the one that got him out just bounced a little bit more and got the top edge. So it looks like you've given your wicket away. But then here's a stat, and it's I first saw Henry Moran mention it. In the entirety of England's last series against India, they compiled 578 and then no other score above 205, 206, I think it might have been. 578 was on a pretty decent deck, batting first in Chennai, and then they progressively became more.
First test, wasn't it? And it was largely thanks to Joe Root's genius 200 as well. So it was a bit of a freak result.
It was a freak. So England getting to 246 and doing it in pretty good time, as they always do with Bazball, that looked like progress and a bonus, didn't it? But the age-old problem in English cricket is, and I'm not blaming Tom Hartley, Jack Leach, Rehan Ahmed, is where are England spinners coming from? And I thought we were sold a bit of a pup with the notion that Joe Root was going to be part of this four-man spin attack. When Jaiswal's going nuts and you've got Root who can bowl into the pitch quite vigorously, right arm round the wicket, taking it away from the left-hander. They don't have many left-handers in this team, India. I was a bit baffled by he didn't bowl. That didn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, one questions Ben Stokes' tactics at your peril. I mean, I thought looking at the way England's batters got out, there are a couple of loose dismissals. You'd say Crawley was a bit disappointing in the way that he got out. But Johnny Bairstow got a beautiful delivery, didn't he? And that's the difference between Akshar Patel and Hartley and Leach. You know, they're beating the outside edge and burning three reviews in the process. In, by the way, record time, no side's done it quicker than that. Jason Holder was the previous record holder against England in the 2020 COVID series when he was trying to waste time to secure a draw. So he just kept on referring things that were nowhere near out. Stokes wasn't doing that. He was trying to put faith in Tom Hartley. But, you know, those balls are turning past the outside edge. They're not going on to hit the stumps. And if you look at the pitch maps for today, you'd have to say that India's bowlers threaten the pads and threaten the stumps more often. And that was the difference, really, between the two sets of spinners. The pitch has still got plenty in it. I mean, we saw Hartley come back. You mentioned him at the top there, bowling nine overs, done for 63. And it was fairly obvious why he kept bowling. It was because Ben Stokes wanted to show faith. And he did indeed pull it back. His first two overs went for 30, didn't they?
Yeah, well, I messaged Finney on our group, on our WhatsApp group, and I said, Finney, what's the play here? Because there's a bowler wants to keep on bowling because Tom Hartley might be thinking, if I can just get a wicket, if I can get one of them to slog one up in the air and get that confidence-boosting wicket, then, you know, that could change everything. Or he's thinking, you know, that, you know, this, that the only way that I can improve on my bowling figures is to keep bowling. And Finney said, I would want the captain to take me out the firing line and bring me back tomorrow morning and just let me go and, you know, feel sorry for myself in the outfield for a bit and then come back. Stokes went the other way and bowled him for nine overs, naught for 63. I would say, I think I agree with what you said. I was getting annoyed that Joe Root wasn't bowling, which probably shows the difference between their spinners and ours, that I was desperate for a few Joe Root overs. Because I actually thought Hartley bowled okay to the right hand. It was just Jaiswal who got absolutely stuck into it. And as a result, he was Tom Hartley. He wasn't landing two balls in the same place in a row to the left-hander because you could see that he was completely spooked. And I don't blame him on his England debut. But it was an interesting tactic by Ben Stokes. I wonder if now, in the cold light of day, whether Stokes regrets it and whether Tom Hartley wishes that he was looking at two overs, naught for 30, rather than nine overs, naught for 63.
I don't know that it's that, actually. I mean, I think actually keeping him on after the first two was possibly essential because you don't want to be two overs done for 30. And he bowled a couple of good balls in those first two overs. And I know you're sort of clutching at straws, saying, oh, a couple of good balls. But actually, for someone with such little experience trying to get into the series, then you want to give him the opportunity to bowl two good balls in an over and then three good balls in an over. Nine overs just seemed excessive. And I come back again though to lengths. Like, then this isn't just Tom Hartley. I'm a big fan of Jack Leach. I love him to bits. He's England's best spinner. but he does drag the ball down too short every over. So, you know, there's always a get out of jail shot. There's always a punch off the back foot if you're the right-hander. He's not consistently making you think, oh shit, this ball's going to come on with the arm, or this one's going to go away, or there's going to be natural variation, because he just gives you a ball that just, I mean, and we're not talking super short, we're not talking long hops, but we're talking international cricket short, where you just have to take, put your weight onto the back foot and then find the gap through the offside. And in fairness to Jack Leach, he had a stress fracture of the back. He's not played first-class cricket, for heaven's sake, you know. He'll be rusty. But that's what, this is always the challenge. When you're playing India and you're England and you don't have the setup to develop spin bowlers, and you've gone in with a bloke who's played 20 first-class matches, a 19-year-old leggy, and a man who hasn't played a first-class game since a stress fracture of the back in June, then you're rather up against it when you're facing Ashwin and Jadeja, who've got 700 wickets between them, and Akshar Patel, who did you 3 years ago, you know.
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, so we did an India preview episode after far too many beverages, which is still available. You can go back and listen again to that. And it's worth listening to, because everything we said is still valid. And it was the main point that we made, was that the reason that it's going to be so tough for England to get anything out of this series is because our batsmen have to face their spinners and their batsmen have to face our spinners. Now, that's not me having a pop at our spinners, but I mean, when Ashwin came on to bowl, I thought it's 4 a.m. I'm not seeing those numbers right, but 490 wickets at 23. And they sometimes leave him out the side. He would be our greatest ever spinner by a absolute landslide. And he's not even necessarily first name on their team sheet. So that's the difference here. But Jack Leach, I mean, I remember when he bowled 64 overs in the Caribbeans on that pitch that was turning a bit. And he did fine. He bowled 9 overs going at about 2.5 this today. Jack Leach is a very, very good, decent spinner, but he's not going to tear through your batting lineup.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, anyplace, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun, eat it too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Now, we could talk all day about this, and this is going to be a recurring theme for the rest of the series about their spinners versus our spinners. Let's try and look for a bit of English positivity. And I know that doesn't come naturally to you, Daniel Norcross, but the way I see it is, despite the fact that India look bloody good, they have to bat last on this wicket, and they currently trail England. That's a good point. In theory, they have to bat last on this wicket. I did think the batting was much improved. There was a couple of times I thought that we had India a little bit rattled. There was a few dodgy reviews, although then Ben Stokes was much worse. But Sharma had a couple of dodgy reviews and a couple of weird field placings, including letting Ben Stokes get the easiest singles in the world off the last ball of the over when he was batting with Jack Leach. So I think we did have their brains fried a little bit with our technique, especially when Stokes teed off. By the way, I've even mentioned Stokes was magnificent for his 70, by the way. It's brilliant. But look, they trailed by 127. The end of play couldn't come soon enough today. I think England wanted to get inside and come back tomorrow. But if they can restrict India to 320, 330, a lead of sort of 80, 90, and then just give them something to bowl at 170 in the final. I mean, it's not England aren't out of this test match after one day, which a lot of the time in the last tour in India, they were.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, I think Harsha Bogli and Ravi Shastri made an interesting point, which was that the ball seemed to grip a little bit more, was a little bit more awkward in the morning session when there was when it was a little bit damper. Essentially, what it'll be like in Hyderabad in the mornings is it'll be a bit misty, there'll be a bit of moisture in the air, and that'll just make it obviously a lot less dry. So it might be a bit quicker. The turn you get is going to be a bit quicker in the first session. So that's going to be, as we always say, the next session is absolutely crucial, but that will be a positive for England spinners. And I thought generally, actually, England's batting held up quite well. They weren't spooked. They were incredibly positive. They looked positive in the field. Stokes is remorselessly and relentlessly positive and takes the attacking option. It is noticeable, though, isn't it, that all this talk about baseball and India are going at a run and over faster than England. And that's and that's actually not a reflection of England not playing baseball and India playing baseball. I'm afraid it's a reflection of England spinners being much easier to get away in that evening session than India's. And the fact that England went so quick, you know, that is the fastest anyone has gone against Ravindra Jadeja in home conditions in his entire career. I mean, he was going nearly five and over, one of the greatest left arm spinners the world's ever seen, and England really took the attack to him. So that is a very big positive. Other little points of note before we sign off. I've given you my ball of the day, which is obviously Akshar to poor old Johnny Bairstow there. I don't think there's anything you can do about that, even if you know where the ball's going to go, I suppose, because it just turned and straightened perfectly and bounced. But a couple of little oddities. Tom Hartley became only the third bowler, we think, in history, certainly since the ball-by-ball record existed, to be hit for six of his first ball. The other two are Sohag Ghazi of Bangladesh. And And Faf du Plessis. Tom Hartley's spell of 9 for 63 runs is not the most expensive on debut for somebody who's bowled over five overs. That would go to Shahadat Hussain of Bangladesh, who went for 8.5 runs and over 12 overs for around 104 or something of that magnitude.
What was this? We understand Ben Stokes' reasoning. What the hell was the reasoning to keep bowling Hussain?
Unclear, very unclear. I'd need to go back and find out. So there were those two sort of delightful oddities. And then there was the other one, which was the six that Rayan Ahmed didn't get that was downgraded to a five. Now, I don't know if you were you eagle-eyed enough to spot this? Because it's always when Ben Stokes is there.
I fell asleep. I drifted off when Ahmed was batting.
Right. So rather brilliantly, Rayan Ahmed hit the ball out towards deep backward square leg. They ran one. They came back for the second. As the throw came in, Stokes and Rayhan hadn't quite crossed. Only by about one pace. And the ball flew off to the boundary for four overthrows. But Rayan Ahmed was on strike at the start of the next, for the next ball. So he'd run, they'd done six initially was the thought. But because, you know, the World Cup final, you know, remember the Ben Stokes controversy?
Yeah,
as the throw comes in, if they haven't crossed, you only get the runs that have been completed before the crossing. So it's only twice that I've seen this be an issue. Once the umpires didn't overturn it. Now, because it happened in a World Cup final, Rayan Ahmed was denied a run. The umpires double checked it, and instead of being credited with an international six, he was credited with an international five instead. Stokes whacked a few more sixes that takes him even further ahead at the top of the six hitting charts. He is out there by a mile ahead of anybody else. Brendan McCullum, obviously, I think, in second place. And he's fast approaching Brendan McCullum's career aggregate. That could be something we look out for in this series. He's about 250-odd runs away. So
it was a joy to watch earlier.
And wasn't he mobile? I thought he was. I thought he ran really well.
Sweeping and reverse sweeping, and I kept waiting for him to wince or struggle to stand up, but he looked, whoever did that surgery on his knee, if only Stephen Finn had their number all those years ago.
I know.
He'd still be going strong. One other thing I do want to mention is Ben Folkes, the best keeper in the world, the one that we've all been excited to see, clattering over all three stumps when a ball came in from the boundary, completely lost his bearings and wiped out all three cricket stumps. I don't think I've ever seen that before. It was very entertaining. And it's not for this podcast, but at some point in the next few weeks, Daniel Norcross, you and I are going to have a very awkward Ollie Pope chat. 38 test matches with a batting average of 34. We may have to have an awkward chat at some point, I'm sorry to say, but that's something for you to look forward to.
Yes, I wondered if that was going to happen, but we'll park it for today. It was his first game. He's been scratched as well. He hasn't had a lot of time in the middle, so you know I'm going to give him an opportunity to bounce back.
And he's got a collarbone made out of cheese string. Doesn't help, but anyway. Right, well, lovely to see you, and I guess we'll meet around the same time tomorrow.
Yeah, works for me.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.